Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Text 1, and I'll also read Text 2 and 3 because Text 1 doesn't have any purport to it. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I'll just summarize this incident for those of many of you who may not be familiar with it. Well, let's see. How many of you read Krishna book? Most. So you know the story of how Narad Muni came across Nalakuvara and Manigriva, the sons of Kuvera, while they were frolicking in intoxicated frolics with women in the Mandakini Ganga. That means, Mandakini means the Ganga flowing in the heavenly planets. So they were naked, and Narad Muni, he became angry to see this and cursed them. He cursed them to become trees, because trees stand up naked without any shame. On the pleas of the sons of Kuvera, Narad Muni modified the curse so that they would stand as trees, but they would eventually be delivered by Krishna, which is the prelude to the Damodar Lila, which has just been related by Shukadev Goswami in this section of Bhagavatam. Now, Parikshit Maharaj is surprised. Parikshit Maharaj is surprised that how did Narad Muni become so angry to curse these sons of Kuvera? It's a very severe punishment to have to stand for thousands of years as a tree. Comparing this, Prabhupada sometimes gave the example of a child being punished at school. I don't know if they still do this, but when Prabhupada was at school, presumably, if the child did something wrong, the teacher would tell him to stand on a stool. And he would just have to stand there, which is, the legs get tired after some time. And everyone can understand that he's a bad boy. So like that, we can see also this country scenery looks very nice. But if we see through the eye of Shastra, we can see that all these nice-looking trees are unfortunate living entities, who are sinful living entities, who are now standing as trees as punishment for their sinful activities. Maybe they got cursed by a Vaishnava to stand as trees, so they could stand as trees in this camp where the devotees would come and chant Hare Krishna. So these trees are much more fortunate than any millionaire enjoying life without hearing Hare Krishna. But anyway, Parikshit Maharaj was surprised. What abominable activities did these persons perform to be cursed in such a way? And so the answer is that they were frolicking in the water, naked, intoxicated with women. And they failed to recognize that Narad Muni was coming, the significance of that, and failed to dress themselves in his presence. Now, in terms of modern society and culture, it doesn't seem to be a very grave offense. And in many countries of Europe, they even have areas where people can do that, like nudist beaches or something like that. And I heard, I haven't seen, but I heard that in Germany in the summer, it's quite normal in the municipal parks for people just to go and sunbathe naked. It's called being natural. But according to the Vedic version, this is not good. Not only according to the Vedic version, even our grandparents who didn't have Vedic knowledge, they would also consider this very bad, isn't it? So although people say this is natural, there seems to be an inherent understanding in human beings that this is something not very good. And actually it is not very good. And it brings sinful, severe sinful reactions. And Narad Muni cursed the sons of Kuvera to become trees. But actually they would have anyway become trees. Because that is the general karmic reaction for parading in naked in public without any shame. So his cursing them was maybe to save them from going on and making more sinful reactions. Actually, the sinful reaction is it's considered sin, and there is reaction because such activities as breaking these four regulative principles, jnanam avritya dehinam, they cover the natural knowledge of the living being. This Nalakuvara and Manigriva, they were sporting with young ladies. They were thinking, this is very nice. But by doing so, they were spoiling their opportunity to develop their relationship with Krishna and dance with Krishna. In the spiritual world, there is everything in the material world. Or rather, in the material world, there's everything that's in the spiritual world. The spiritual world is original. So we often tell people that Krishna consciousness is very nice. Singing and dancing and flowers and so many nice things. And many people think, oh, that's very nice. Just like the Prabhupada was preaching among the hippies, his first preaching, the hippies in America. And they thought Krishna consciousness is very nice. It's like what we're doing. It's singing and dancing and colorful and flowers and incense and peace and love. Vegetarian. But what is the intrinsic difference between the singing and dancing of devotees and the singing and dancing of non-devotees? The devotees do everything for the satisfaction of Krishna, and the non-devotees do everything for the satisfaction of their senses. Which is, doing everything for the satisfaction of our senses may appear to give us pleasure, but ultimately it is not in our, even in our own self-interest. Last night, Kadamba Kanan Maharaj was speaking very clearly about controlling desires for sex life. So you may think, well, that's really too much. It's, you know, it's, how is it possible to be so strict? But we should understand, this is really for our self-interest, that any act performed not for the sake of Krishna's pleasure, simply binds us in this material world. Maharaj gave the example, behind the blue eyes, there is a mind. So that example can be spread, or that can be used in terms of every act of sense gratification. Whatever we do, which is not meant for the pleasure of Krishna, binds us to this material world. However nice it may seem, the result is birth, death, old age and disease. Now, love for Krishna is far beyond such considerations of how I shall enjoy or suffer. It's actually not really the level of love of God to that we follow the regulated principles because we want to avoid punishment. There are certain Christians who preach that, what do they say, what is that? They say, bathe in the blood of Jesus or burn in hell forever. So, in Krishna consciousness, we also have knowledge of how a sinful life leads to intense suffering. But we don't make it the main thrust of our preaching that we will suffer, or you will suffer terribly if you don't surrender to Krishna. Rather, we emphasize that let us love Krishna. Let us first of all understand that we have no intrinsic relationship with this material world. We are not the body. Let us develop our love for Krishna, and by doing so, simultaneously we should understand that anything which is conceived of for sense gratification, that is an obstacle in our advancement in love of Krishna. So we say, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. Why? Well, if you do engage in those things, then you might end up being a tree, pretty likely. Or a cat, or a dog, or maybe and a cat and a dog, like one after another. But the real suffering in material life, the real suffering for the jiva is not becoming a tree or a dog or a cat. The real suffering is that we're not in Krishna consciousness. Because in the contaminated consciousness, we conceive of happiness as being sense enjoyment, and we perceive distress as being punishment. Therefore, we become afraid when we hear of the yama yantrana, the distress, the punishments of yama. But actually, even if one is supposedly enjoying in the heavenly planets, he's also suffering. That we are not in relationship with Krishna, that is suffering. And this hellish punishments, they are just given to convince the foolish jivas that we are suffering, don't suffer, come to Krishna. That is why a devotee, a pure devotee sees hellish punishment and heavenly reward as being the same. Narayana para sarve nakutaschina bibhyati swargapabhaga narakeshu apituliyata darshanaha. A pure devotee of Narayana sees that hellish punishments, heavenly delights, or even liberation, he doesn't think any one of them is better. Because a pure devotee thinks, if I have the chance to serve Krishna, that is very good in any situation. And if I don't have the chance to serve Krishna, then this heavenly so-called happiness, that's useless. Kita janma hao jatha tuadas bahimokka brahma janme nahi ash. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that I can be a worm in stool if I have the chance to serve you somehow or other in that situation. But I have no desire whatsoever to get the position of Brahma if in that situation I'm inimical to you, Krishna. So this consciousness, I mean, I think even for us, I mean, we're supposed to be devotees, but it's a very elevated consciousness, isn't it? Can we honestly say that? As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, from the same song, Marobi, Rakobi, Joit Chatoha, Nittadasa Prati, Tua Adhika. That you protect me or you kill me, as you like, I'm your servant, you do whatever you like with me. So that's surrender, that we consider that, well, whatever Krishna wants to do with me, that, yes, I'm ready. Because the devotee has firm faith that Krishna is my well-wisher, Krishna is my friend. And I don't want anything outside of a relationship with Krishna. Even if Krishna, out of his own desire, humiliates me or punishes me, like he did with Bali Maharaj. Yes, let that be. But let me not follow Shukracharya, who wanted to reject Krishna. So all these wonderful narrations are here in Bhagavatam, so we can see what is the character of pure devotees. What is the nature of pure devotion to Krishna? The devotees, they are so much attached to Krishna that even Krishna himself becomes surprised. That how my devotees are so much attached to me. Maybe you've seen that picture of baby Krishna lying on a leaf with his foot in his mouth. Have you all seen that picture? So the acharyas have described that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's never a baby. Yes, he's always a baby, but he's never a baby. He's God. God's not a baby. But as the son of Mother Yashoda, he's a baby. So he's a baby and he's also God. And he's thinking, oh, all the devotees are so anxious for the nectar from my lotus feet. Must be pretty good. Let me try it out and see what it's like. So Krishna himself becomes amazed at the devotion of his devotees. And therefore he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to find out what is this all about. As long as I'm Krishna, I can't understand what is the love of the devotees for me, because I'm just receiving that love and reciprocating. So he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to taste what is that love and to distribute it to others. So this is what Narad Muni is doing also. Narad Muni goes everywhere chanting Hare Krishna and getting others to do so also. Several times Prabhupada, he told the devotees, Narad Muni is here. The devotees couldn't see, Prabhupada was seeing. In fact, in London, that temple was established, Prabhupada had two Vyasa sons made at the side of the altar. He said, one is for Lord Brahma, the other is for Narad Muni. They're always here sitting, watching you. Another time, you see, the devotees in London, they used to go out from the temple on Harinam every day. And they would go up one side of Oxford Street, the main street in London, and then they'd come back again. And they'd have lunch, and then they'd go up again and come back again. That was their daily program, 6 days a week. Go up and down Oxford Street means they were going up and down chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada, he was one time in London, and there were very few devotees in the temple, and because they're all out. And Prabhupada started laughing. Devotee asked Prabhupada, why are you laughing? He said, well, Narad Muni is laughing. Narad Muni is on Oxford Street watching the devotees. He's thinking, how wonderful, all them lectures are chanting Hare Krishna.
Krishna.
So Narad Muni is an eternal, transcendental personality who spreads love of Krishna everywhere. So Parikshit Maharaj is very surprised. Why did he curse these persons? These sons of Kuvera. Yena va devarshes tamaha. Tamaha. This word tamaha means ignorance. So the kind of anger whereby one curses someone unnecessarily, or whereby he acts with just cruel, mean violence, that is an act of the mode of ignorance. So it's understood that Narad Muni, of course, there's no question of him being in the mode of ignorance. But the word is used because superficially it may seem that he was, it seemed like that, from the external point of view, it might seem that he was being unnecessarily harsh. But Narad, everything he does is for the benefit of others, to help to bring them to Krishna. So Narad also plays a vital role in Krishna's pastimes. We find also that, for instance, Narad Muni, he went to Kamsa Maharaj and told him, well, actually, you know that eighth son of Devaki? You remember that he was going to kill you? Well, I certainly remember. Well, he happens to be in Vrindavan, and he's Krishna. So this Narad Muni saying so precipitated Kamsa's even worse atrocities. He started having all the children killed left, right and center. So he did that to facilitate Krishna's pastimes. So it might seem that he was being unnecessarily harsh here. He could have told Nalukuvara and Manigriva, well, you know, don't be so bad in future. And they would have said, okay. And next day they'd be back at the same thing. So Narad Muni was thinking of their eternal welfare, and therefore he cursed them. But as a result of that curse, they got to see Krishna's childhood pastimes. And they got to play a very important part in that, by becoming the twin Arjun trees that Krishna pulled down with the mortar that he was tied to. So it may be very difficult if we just try to understand superficially, it's not possible to understand Narad Muni and his activities. But actually, everything he does is to lift others to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Now, the members of the present Krishna conscious movement are meant to be representatives of Narad Muni. Did you ever think about that? Because the parampara is there. Krishna, Brahma, Narada, and then all the way down to Prabhupada, and now we have the parampara is continuing. So devotees, especially those who wander in this world or move in this world to preach Krishna consciousness, they are representatives of all the parampara. It's actually a very elevated position. When devotees go out to distribute Prabhupada's books, they are representing the whole parampara and giving the whole parampara in the form of Prabhupada's books to persons like Nalakuvara and Manigriva. Persons who have no idea what is the goal of life, who are completely fallen in sense gratification. The karmis are always trying to make some arrangements so we can live very nicely and happily to facilitate our sense gratification. But of course, they're not happy now, and as a result of their gross sense gratification, which they think is normal, they're going to have to suffer very horribly even more in future. So it is a great act of mercy of the devotees to bring this knowledge of Krishna to others. And in fact, not to do so is the most antisocial activity. What is the worst envy and what is the worst violence? Hitler was very bad, wasn't he? In the modern age, we have this Bin Laden. He's famous as being a very violent, antisocial kind of person. Yeah. But according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he has analyzed that even the mother looking after her child, in most cases, is intrinsically as bad as Hitler or Bin Laden. And that doesn't sound right, does it? Looking after your baby very nicely, and you're saying, well, this is as bad as Hitler. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said that the worst kind of violence is not to give others Krishna consciousness. You may think, well, that's not violent. How can that be compared to Hitler? Well, Hitler killed so many bodies. But if we fail to give knowledge of Krishna to others, that means that we're actually condemning them to birth after birth after birth after birth in this material world, to suffer far more times than anyone did in any concentration camps, over and over again. So we can just begin to perceive how serious this Krishna consciousness is. Yes, it's love and peace and bells and singing and dancing. People may think, yes, that's very nice. It's fun. But the result of not joining in that singing and dancing is that very black future. So the mood of Narad Muni that Prabhupada very much wanted to impart to us is the urgency of this Krishna consciousness. It may seem very extreme to say that, well, we have to give up all sense gratification. And it may seem, well, why don't we just make some kind of compromise, halfway kind of thing. But Krishna says, full way. Krishna says, full, not halfway, go the whole way. Sarvadhaman parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja. Yeah, anyway. You all know what that means? I hope so. Yeah. Krishna says, fully surrender to me. So in the modern age, this kind of absolute commitment to anything is considered an evil. They say you shouldn't be too extreme. They're absolutely committed to sense gratification. And any absolute commitment to anything else, they think it's wrong. So really the way of thinking and acting of devotees is quite different to that of materialistic people. That's why we have to read Prabhupada's books daily. Because all the time there's so much propaganda coming in through our eyes and ears that we have to conform with the standards of a society that is shipping its members to hell en masse. So by reading these books, then we get in contact with reality. Reality means to understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am His eternal servant. So we daily need to read these books and hear as much as we can the Vaikuntha Vani, messages coming from Vaikuntha. All these leelas, there's so much depth to them. That's why Parikshit Maharaj is asking, why did Narad Muni curse the sons of Kuvera? Now we find that the acharyas, they've analyzed all these points in Krishna Leela very deeply. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that, I'm describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, but actually there's no question of fully describing them. Even to attempt to fully describe one moment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes would take millions of books. So anyway, we should study these wonderful pastimes of Krishna and enter into that. Become part of Krishna Leela. By identifying ourselves as servants of Krishna, then everything we do, that becomes directed by Krishna's internal potency. A devotee, he walks, he talks, he sleeps, he laughs, he cries, may do so many the same things as non-devotees do. But the quality of everything a devotee does is quite different to that of the non-devotee. Because everything a devotee does, his walking, his talking, his singing, his eating, his sleeping, everything he does simply for the pleasure of Krishna. And therefore every breath of his existence is fully surcharged with love of Krishna. He's in Krishna consciousness. So we understand from Shastra that if we're not in Krishna consciousness, then we have to suffer horribly. So that may be a first impetus for us to take to Krishna consciousness. But the real impetus is to please Krishna. And on that platform of always acting, always thinking, how can we please Krishna? To always float in the waves of the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any question about this?
You said that how Krishna is our well-wisher and friend, and he is always going to protect us. Is it good to think in this way in the beginning, or should we better think of him as our master and lord?
Both. He's our master, our lord, our friend, our well-wisher, everything auspicious. That he's our master, we shouldn't think it's like some kind of jail warden or something like this. He's our master, our loving master. Krishna, the main, what is the essence of Krishna consciousness? This feeling, loving feelings for Krishna. Now in the Christian religion, they mostly have this idea, you should fear God. But in Krishna consciousness, we say, love Krishna. Don't be afraid. Fear is for those who are not devotees. They should be afraid. But for a devotee, there's no fear. If we simply act for the pleasure of Krishna, then certainly Krishna will protect us. Devotee doesn't have to fear. He only has to think, how can I act for the pleasure of Krishna? So yeah, we should read this Krishna book and hear about Krishna's wonderful pastimes. Krishna's not the sitting on the cloud, throwing down thunderbolts kind of God. He's a butter-stealing God. Watch out for your butter. Watch out for your butter. You can make, if you have cows, I heard so many people in Czech, they have cows at home. So you can make nice butter and offer it to Gopal. And if you make it nice enough, he might come and take it before you offer it. Of course, one has to be an advanced devotee before he becomes so eager to steal your butter. But that's what we're here for, isn't it? I mean, we're here so that we can develop love of Krishna. It's not something to be artificially attempted or cheap, but it is what we're here for. Surely Krishna will bless us with love for him if we seriously engage in his service. Dhanavir Maharaj was telling yesterday, he was having a dream in which Jayadvaita Maharaj was trying to lead kirtan, but he couldn't because whenever he started, the tears would just flood out from his eyes. I remember when I first joined, there, one devotee was telling that we're looking forward to the day when we'll have to appoint someone go around with a mop during kirtan, mopping up the tears so that we don't all slip on it. So we don't want any artificial displays of imitation love. But definitely this is our prayojan, prima prayojan. Love of Krishna is what Krishna consciousness is all about. Hare Krishna. So we might have a long way to go, but let's have faith in Krishna that he can do the impossible. Yeah, one there's a question here. Yeah. Well, it's very good to imbibe the mood that we find from our acharyas, that they repeatedly pray that Krishna, you give me whatever situation you think is best for my advancement. If we only pray to Krishna to relieve our material suffering, that means we can't really develop love of Krishna. Krishna, relieve my suffering so I can go on with enjoying this material world. Krishna, that's Krishna. Not love of Krishna. So these examples are there in Bhagavatam of so many devotees. Prahlad Maharaj, they suffered tremendously, more than we can imagine. But they simply thought, well, Krishna sent it, all right, let me chant Hare Krishna. So it seems impossible for us, but then if we always hear about this and develop this mood, we can also start to enter into that. And in this regard, I'm just going to finish with one grave announcement that one of our senior god brothers, who I don't think he's been to Czech Republic, but he's been preaching all over the world for many years, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was just in hospital and he's being diagnosed as having cancer and apparently at quite an advanced stage. So probably at least he'll have to have one leg amputated. And it may be that he may not be with us here very long. So we can all pray to Krishna that we want the association of the devotees. So please, of course Krishna is independent, but we are making a prayer from this side that you please keep Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj with us for more time. Don't take him away now. Sometimes it may be very difficult to understand why devotees, they may apparently suffer in such ways. But jato dekho vaishnava vyabohar duk nischoy jane hateha para ananda shuk. We should know that the apparent suffering of a devotee, he's not suffering, he's on the platform of Krishna consciousness, always experiencing the highest bliss. So anyway, please, we're all happily engaged in chanting Hare Krishna here. But please bear this in mind also. And when we're chanting Hare Krishna, and especially when we're chanting prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, please pray that the devotees who are preaching the names of